We're recording this early in the afternoon on Tuesday. Byron Buxton returning to action tonight in St. Paul, supposed to get four at-bats as a designated hitter. Then we'll play center field there tomorrow if everything goes well. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing against the Yankees Thursday on getaway day, although knowing Rocco, if he plays 2 days in a row, we'll have to give him a day off.
Well, right? Sure.
So he probably won't start till Friday.
How's the decelerating?
Houston.
Is that what we're going to monitor?
I think they said he's running full speed with no problems in any form, so he doesn't have to. He no longer feels pain slowing down, so that's good. But I said this to Judd earlier today, Judd and Phil. I think this is the most important 3.5 months of his career because he has got to not because he can rescue this collection of mutts.
He has to. I know exactly what you're going to say.
He has to play.
Yep.
Otherwise, he's a free agent next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see.
After next year.
Next year, but he goes into next year as a free agent, right? He has to give them some incentive to offer him 5 years and $120 million that it'll take to sign him, right? And if they wait till next year and he's playing extremely well like he was this year and playing, no chance they sign him. He'll go.
It has to happen this coming offseason.
He'll go do the free agent thing, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have him in a situation where you're confident, you know, but you can't have him overly confident. You know, you can't have him saying, you know, if he plays out the schedule this year and plays well and plays, you know, 90% of the games, 85% of the games that remain. What do they got, 159? He could rejoin, they've played 59. He could rejoin them with 100 left. If he plays 85 of them and plays well and doesn't miss any except rest and relaxation, Rocco type, then you can say, okay, he's gonna be 28 in December. He's got the prime of his physical maturity ahead of him for 5 years. We can sign him. But if he gets hurt again, then you're out of luck.
But, Pat, I guess that's what he's going to be 28.
Yes.
Which means is he in the middle of the best physical years? Sure. But to me, he hasn't demonstrated that he can be healthy for a full year.
No, but he has to make you optimistic that that can occur.
Because, see, I don't think it's going to.
Well,
because
he's
going to start getting older. This is going to start happening with more frequency.
Yes, I know that. But I don't worry about him slowing down before age 32.
You do not?
I do not. I think as a hitter, he has got the five best years of his life ahead of him as a hitter, because he now knows more about what he's trying to do. When he was, you know, his physical, his speed and all that, you know, might have been better at 24 and 25, but he wasn't mature as a hitter.
No, you're right.
And he's now a hitter, and I think these can be five really good years.
And I guess that's the part that's discouraging, because when he's on the field, there's no question he makes your team that much better.
Well, there was the second half of, was it 18, that he was really good and then got hurt again. But there's never been a time when he was as complete a player as he was
the first month
when
of the
we
season.
Saw him this
yes,
year.
No question.
Because he was finally an offensive weapon to go with this incredible defense, and he was probably playing better center fielder than he ever played in his life.
The numbers he put up in April were, I mean, you're talking Willie Mays, Babe Ruth,
that's the
kind of numbers you're talking.
But, yeah, if somebody said to me, do you think if he keeps this up, somebody said on Twitter, he could be Torrey Hunter or Kirby Puckett, you know, and I said, if he keeps this up, he's Willie Mays, mm-hmm. you know, because he's a better center fielder than either Puck or Hunter. Hunter was a better center fielder than Kirby. We love Kirby. He ran the ball down, and he had great instincts and threw to the right base and was a good center fielder. Hunter was a better center fielder, and Buxton's a better center fielder than Hunter when he plays. But You know, this is, to me, this is it. This is like the last gasp for him in this franchise.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
If he gets hurt again.
And this next, what would you say, 14 days?
Yeah.
Is what you decide what you're going to do for this season, too.
You can't, well, you're not. Yeah. Yo, I don't think he can't do anything to help this collection.
You don't think so?
No. God, no. You know, the maximum would be approaching 500, and that would leave you 10 games out of the playoffs. Okay. If they get back to 500, I'll be shocked, but they aren't going past 500. Somebody said today they got to play 641 to win 90. You think these guys are capable of, you know, when you got a guy like Matty Boy who can't get out of the rotation with an 8 ERA and just gave up 9 runs and got one out, you know?
You know what he needed? He needed the dome. He was a little sweaty. Yeah. He needed the dome.
He was. Phil mentioned this morning, and he's right. Somebody should have pointed out to Matt that there's this thing that lays behind the mound.
It's called the rosin bag.
The rosin bag. Yep. It's the only legal substance you're supposed to use. But I said, well, yeah, but it's recently new. I don't think they put it down there till like 1890 or something like that.
It's only
been there for 130 years, Matt. That's why you have it there.
Speaking of
you put it on your hand and then you throw it back there and then you pick it up.
Speaking
again.
Of the substance, do you think they'll throw at Donaldson?
That's tomorrow. I thought Cole was pitching tonight, but he's pitching tomorrow.
Oh, he's pitching tomorrow.
Yeah, Montgomery, the lefty, who's been good lately, is pitching tonight. But
this is the guy that used to play for the Cubs. Is that Montgomery?
Jordan Montgomery.
I can't remember. There's a Mike, there's a Jordan, and there was a third
Jordan.
One.
This is Jordan. I don't know where he came from. He's been with the Yankees.
Oh, Cole's tomorrow. I thought Cole was tonight.
He was too, but he's tomorrow night, apparently. Okay. So, yeah, they'll be ready to tune up for that one. So...
Or
I don't think he'll come out and buzz him right away, but if it's the sixth and he knows he's leaving, you know.
Or will Rocco not play him?
Oh, Rocco will play him, I think.
Because he had the Sunday.
Rocco would have to try to convince Donaldson to not. No, yeah, he had Sunday off. He'll play. I mean, assuming he's healthy.
Okay.
You know, he's on quite a run here of being available.
And he's been, he has increased his production.
He's up to 250 something, yeah. which on this team puts you in the top four, right? Doesn't it?
Talking to a guy on Sunday, and we thought, who's going to be their all-star? And we were having a tough time. We were probably saying Taylor Rogers just because an arm, you know, a bullpen. But I don't know who their all-star is going to be.
Position player wise, no, they don't have one.
No,
Donaldson, Polanco.
It would have been Rob Refsnyder had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah, well, it would have been Buxton, but
yeah,
Buxton missed what, 5 weeks?
Yeah, he hasn't played since.
I mean, it's early May, so yeah. That's what scares you about him is he got a strained hip and they thought he was going to miss a week and it ended up being 5. That's what scares you about it.
Well, what also scares me,
though,
it's always something different.
Yes.
That's the part that's right. Troubling. It's not, he's got a bad whatever. It's something different all the time with him.
The dumbest thing this team ever did, well, not dumbest. I mean, they've done a lot of dumb things. Signing, you know, Donaldson, maybe one of them. But was when he had a migraine in Puerto Rico. And he was not hitting. We were only 10 days into that season?
It was the opening weekend, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't the opening weekend. They were down there. They'd been home. And then
You're right.
But he wasn't hitting. So they used the migraine as an excuse to put him on the DL. And then he went to Fort Myers and fouled the ball off
his
foot and broke his toe and missed, instead of just saying... Yeah, okay, he's got a headache. He'll miss 3 games, which is what he did. They gave him some headache. You miss 3 games. And that turned into a wasted season for him,
so
basically.
So you're reminding me of something, and you were talking about, this was the critical piece to whether they're going to sign him to a 5-year deal. Is there still any lingering animosity between him and his agent and the team?
I think it's...
Because of the service time issue?
It will not prevent him from signing... But the price is going to have to be right.
As in, you're going to make it up from what you took from me?
No, no. It's just that, okay, I'm not giving you a bargain because I love being in Minnesota, you know.
Okay.
He's a Georgia guy. He's not, you know, he's, I don't think he's pro or con, you know.
Okay.
I think he'll go where it's, you know, if the Braves wanted him to play center field and were willing to pay, put him and Acuna together, that could be pretty good, right? Yeah.
Although I saw he got hurt recently too.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, but he might be the best player in the world when he's healthy.
I don't know. I still like my shortstop in San Diego, Pat. Boy, is he fun. I watched that game last night.
But what's with him and 25 errors or whatever it is? He's throwing the ball away a lot.
A little bit.
But I'm beginning to think they're better than the Dodgers. They're better offense. I think they're better hitting than the Dodgers.
What's helping them right now is the Dodgers have had stretches of just, you know, Seager was out for a bit, Bellinger was out for a ton. Yeah. I mean, they're not
hitting extremely well. Guys. But they are down to, they're like the Yankees. The Yankees are, I was watching the Yankees the other night, five of the guys, I said, who the hell is this? You know, Urschel is one of their stars, you know.
And you look at the Dodgers, the way that they're going to be set up for the postseason. I mean, their pitching staff is just so deep right now.
Yeah, Bauer hasn't been great, though.
No, he hasn't. But I just look at them come October. Boy, are they going to be a tough out.
Bauer basically admitted on his podcast today or yesterday that, that yes, he's using a substance. But if they make it illegal, he'll stop, you know. He was honest about it. He didn't say that, but he hinted that, you know, okay, if they really start enforcing it. But they've tried to avoid having to do this because they know what a circus is.
Oh, I know. And it will be. Yes.
They're gonna have to do the same thing they do with balls and strikes and replay reviews. They're gonna have to say if you come out of the dugout to argue about it, you're gone. You're gone because otherwise these will be 20-minute arguments. You know, they'll go on and on and forever. They'll be like the guy from St. Louis. What's wrong with your Cardinals, by the way? Lost five in a row. They're down to third place.
Who did I see that they were missing?
Yachty's hurt.
Yeah, well, that and Arenado started off hot, but then he cooled off a little bit. But you looked at that lineup from the beginning of the year and you thought, ooh, they're going to be able to hit a little bit.
Best record in baseball still today, the San Francisco Giants, which is unbelievable. It's like an old-timers team. You expect Willie Mays to come out and wave his hat to the crowd on Old Timers Day when they introduce this lineup. They're pitching, you know, they're pitching well, but it's unbelievable who they. By the way, somebody got hurt. Lamont Wade, leadoff hitter now.
I saw he hit a home run the other day.
Yeah, and he's playing first base.
Is he really?
Which was his high school and college position for a couple of years at Maryland before they turned him into an outfielder. But he's a short, stocky first baseman. Mm-hmm. But they had. They had about three first basemen get hurt, so they called him up and put him at first, and now they like him because he gets on base all the time.
You're reminding me. So last night I was just kind of flipping around. Do you know who I think is going to end up? You know, we all praise the Whiteys for all those moves they made, and they were just they were harvesting all this young talent when they traded Sale and Quintana and all those guys. Do you know who I think is going to be that next team? Miami.
Yeah, but they're not playing well now.
No, but I was looking. They were on the MLB Network feed playing a makeup game versus the Red Sox in Fenway last night.
Yeah,
and they were showing the list of talent that not only is at the major league team but in their minors. Holy cow! So do they have some arms?
Most of them Latin American kids. Too,
yes,
right? They did a great job.
They have nothing but arms that are going to be throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. The people say it's on the way. That's why. They have no hitting. We should send them the big man.
give us one or two of those guys.
We'll take your ninth and your 11th. You know, you don't have to give us the
one
superstars. just give us a couple of the guys that give us Max Meyer, who's what, top five probably.
I think
for
so.
For them,
yeah.
And then somebody else. Give us the hometown guy, and then another arm. And you can have Miguel, and maybe you'll get down there, and you know, who knows. Maybe somebody will be able to get through. Maybe Don Mattingly will be able to show
himself. You think
so? No. No, I don't.
And you know who I do like watching play? I like watching the Royals play baseball because they're almost, by modern standards, they're a throwback team. I like Matheny. They hit and run. They do. I like the way that they play the game.
The other day against the tall guy, and it didn't work out for him because they didn't get on base. But he started their four speedsters, but based on the theory that 6'10" guys aren't
going to be able to move. Right?
Really,
yeah. Right.
Aren't good at holding runners on because they got to go whoosh, get the ball to first, and they didn't get enough guys on base for it to work. But that was, you know, that was very bright thinking, I thought, because they're the last team in baseball that just has a guy because he can run, aren't they?
Yes.
Dyson. Yeah. I mean, they're the last team that in the era of the four-man bench, they got
a guy.
They still got Herb Washington. You don't remember him, but no. He was with the Oakland A's during their World Series years, and he was a track man. He was like a world-class track man that Charlie Finley signed, and he was a pinch runner.
Was our last one Jarvis? Was Jarvis our last designated?
Well, he was a pinch runner. Jarvis was. Jeff, don't mention Jarvis in the company of Billy Gardner.
No, I won't. But I'm saying, was that the Twins' last?
Yes. But Jarvis's greatest service to us, the Twins, was to be so rotten that they called Puck up way earlier than they thought they were going to.
Really?
Yeah, he was who they called up. They called Puck up to replace Jarvis.
I did not know that.
Jarvis had been playing, and
here I thought he was just some great find as a base stealer. He'd come
swipe they brought him in. That was when they were scraping the bottom of the barrel, man. That was, you know, Calvin, 82. They traded Smalley, Weininger, Corbett, and who else within a first month of they move into the new stadium after having a horrible year, right? And first thing, Calvin gets mad because they play lousy for 10 days. Traded Smalley, Weininger, Corbett, and who else? They traded like all their veterans. Boom, 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 boom. Get him out of here. Everybody making any money at all, he got rid of. Corbett wasn't even making money yet. He was afraid he might. And traded them all. They got Brunansky for Corbett, which was a really good trade. But
and they got Gagne.
Yeah, got Gagne. Yeah, they did okay. And then they got RD, and he was very good for laughs. And but yeah, I mean that was, you know, that was an amazing time. 82. They new ballpark. They didn't draw a million.
Oh,
indoors. I think they drew 940.
But the fan. No, I. You know, this is a little bit. I was alive, just but was very young, but. Was there the great anticipation of indoor baseball?
We weren't like deathly set against it. No, we weren't.
Your colleague was.
Oh yes, he was. He was very upset. He was the last boy. I mean, there was the same the Met crew and the whole thing, but but a lot of people were saying, we know we're going to get a ball game. We can drive in from Alexandria and know we're going to get a ball game." And I think the tradition of fans, you know, the farmers and everybody getting the crops in, sitting around, making the one trip a year for 3 days to the Twins game was in August or something, you know, was a month, you know, sometime in July or August. You could always see August attendance increase because of the rural folks coming in, even when they were rotten. If you were averaging 7 on Fridays, which happened, they'd average 11. You know, you'd see in August. You know, and then some of them. You know, part of it was the state. You know, come in for the state fair and a couple of Twins games.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot more of the state's population was out state too. You know, and a lot more was rural. I'm doing a piece for Sunday on a baseball team in Rosen, Minnesota.
Where is Rosen, Minnesota?
It is damn near on the South Dakota border, out by Ortonville, and it's a 50-year anniversary of something that I'm going to write about. But it's a place that is neither a township nor a village. Apparently, its official designation in Minnesota is a hamlet, and it has a... It has a ball field and a Catholic church.
Oh,
you know,
there you go.
Like in Stearns County, they always say two bars, a Catholic church, and a ball field gets you in the league.
Yep.
This one doesn't even have the bars.
No.
It just has the Catholic church
and the ballpark.
And the ballpark. And a bunch of German Lutherans who've I mean, German Catholics who fed the team for years and years and years. Families getting smaller, but actually, it's all kinds of little towns out there, Dumont and stuff. But like Dumont gets its players from Wheaton, and they get their this team gets its players from Ortonville, and no, not Ortonville, Ortonville and Lacqua-Parla. So because like the little tiny towns have the ballparks and. Some of the bigger towns don't have teams, you know. But it's the Lando Ducks League, and it's sort of a.
Do they get a bid? Does that league get a bid?
Oh sure, yeah. They've I think probably two at least, probably.
Because Ortonville is ringing a bell. I think they've made a couple appearances.
Yeah, not lately. They don't have a team.
Oh, they don't.
They don't have a team. I think he told me. I got to look at my notes, but I think he told me they don't have a team. But yeah, it's its population is. Nobody, because the mailing addresses there are Bellingham, a little town.
You know what I'd love to be? I'd love to be at a state board meeting then when they're going down the list of the points and all that stuff. Well, Rosa, Minnesota, what are they, how many points do they have?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yes.
No population.
They got a 30-mile radius or 35. They got a couple of South Dakota kids, and they're
okay.
Because Big Stone, South Dakota is right across the border, I guess.
Oh, that's cool.
And Tom Rademacher is the guy I was talking to. He ran the team for a bunch of years. He was on a state board for 9 years, he told me.
Really?
Retired, yeah, because I made some crack about it. I said, what is the most political body in America, the state baseball board, what do they allow you for a radius? And he said, I think it's 30 miles now. And he said, I was on that board for 9 years, and it is a little political. But but he told me this. They're having their memorial service celebration for Freddie Roof's on Friday night in Mankato.
Yeah, I saw that.
I would like to make it, but I have a couple of family funerals this weekend.
Okay.
Father Brian O'Rourke will have a funeral at St. Mark's. Right over here in Highland Park, or not Highland Park, right off Marshall, over there. And then his sister, Sheila, will be buried on Saturday morning. Sheila died of ALS, and Brian just died out in California. Brian was a priest. That one's got a hunch. That's got a chance not to be an in and outer. You know, that one could last a while.
So you're
We might get a bishop. We'll certainly get some monsignors. We're very well liked.
Well, then what you should root for is
I got a hunch, and I got we know what I'm rooting for: air conditioning.
That's what I was just gonna say because she's gonna be a warm one.
Hopefully, St. Mark's has air conditioning because 97 degrees, and I'm figuring 145.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah, 145.
But back to Freddie though, best guy and best supporter of town baseball in the state.
Yeah, he was a little less set in his ways than some of the other fellows.
But the thing I always really appreciated about Fred, and I've shared this with a number of people in town baseball, when we made our first bid to get the state tournament, we had partnered with Owatonna, and we were denied. But he was the one that really was insistent that we try it again, try to regroup, because he said, we like going to different places.
Yeah.
He said, we like to get outstate, and we're considered outstate down in Faribault. And so that was the one thing I always really appreciated about Fred was he didn't put the hand up. He was encouraging us to find a better partner or find a closer partner, not better. That's the wrong word. You know, but that was one thing that always stood out to me about Fred. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was. I always got along with him well.
He was a Mankato guy. Come on.
He ended up Marshall before that, too, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that.
He got a lot of friends out in Marshall. He was a booster of both Southwest State
and Mankato.
And MSU Mankato, which MSU Mankato, he's in their Hall of Fame
yes,
as a booster,
is.
I think.
Yep.
So, wrestling and baseball.
I didn't know he was a
big wrestling booster.
Okay.
Big wrestling booster, yep. And, good guy. Got COVID last fall. He had, that brought about, maybe it did or did not, this thing called French polio. I can't remember what the official title of it is. And it happened so damn quick this spring that I mean, it was. I don't know when he actually got COVID, because last time I saw him was at the Class A tournament, Shakopee. He was doing swimmingly. So, but he went in a hurry when he went. I think COVID had something to do with it.
Yeah, too. I chatted him at the Milroy site during the state tournament last year for at least half hour, if not 45 minutes, and seemed great. Yeah, same thing. Just asked how the field was looking and everything like that. So it's a shame.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, Fighting Twins, Yankees, then the Astros come to town, and I suppose we can go over there and act offended by the Astros, right?
Oh, I got to get my trash can.
Yeah, we got to act offended by the Astros. Although the only time we ever really played them in any important games,
they beat us twice.
Was 4 years after the Ashcans, and they still kicked our ass because they, once again, our Fighting Twins didn't show up for the playoffs.
Really quick, do you think we'll draw well for the Yankees? The Yankees are kind of.
I think you're in the 20s, maybe, if you're lucky. It's not, it's just not. People are not.
You don't have a fever. You don't get the sense.
The idea of going downtown for a ball game is not real strong with people right now. That's for sure. Thursday afternoon, maybe. You think we're still going to get the groups of buses of wreck kids?
The kids
stuff?
That are all up in 305 screaming their head off?
Wreck kids? Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be in the 90s, too. And
a day game might be a little warm.
Day game there, and it's a little warmish down there in the hole. There's, without the breeze blowing it. Yesterday was gorgeous, though, for a day in the 90s because the wind was howling.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. Although Sunday was. You said your game was a little warm.
It was warm, and it was breezy, which helped us a little bit. But boy, you get out there, and that sun just sits on you.
Well, give us the Jake Patricia news.
Oh, we were informed on either Saturday night or Sunday morning that he had signed a minor league contract with the Angels, and he is going to report to Salt Lake City, which is their
Triple A. Triple A, baby, way to go, Jake.
Yep.
One inning down there, right? One game, one inning?
Well, I joke with him via text. I said,
that must have been a hell of an inning.
I said, hell, you threw more innings for us than you did for High Point.
But I looked at the stats, and he had an inning like the second game of the year. There was nothing wrong with him, right?
No.
They just weren't using him?
I guess. I think, what did I see, 12 pitches? Is that what the inning total was? So.
Logan Morrison is on that team, by the way, the High Point Rockers. He hit a home run. One night, I don't know what he was doing. So, but talk about a guy. A guy was only making $6 million, and he was offended. He ain't making six now.
How about the fact that did you see this on MLB? Really, because Viola the manager or the pitching coach?
He's the pitching coach.
Pitching coach
has been there forever.
Yeah. Okay,
since they started in 18. Yeah.
They did a side by side. They had Frankie talking about the 40th anniversary of the game he and Darling threw against each other in college. That, Pat, you got to find it.
Frank was funny?
It was Frank because, Darling's works for the network.
Darling's,
and they were just talking about how each other in their New York accent. It was fantastic.
Well, Frankie, made national news in 19 when he got thrown out for arguing with the robot umpire.
That's right.
In the first inning.
Yes.
In the first inning. The umpire behind the plate had the right to overrule the computer, right?
Sure, yes.
But Frank gave him about 8 pitches, and it was obvious they were missing him. He got thrown out. But he's down there. He's been down there for, I suppose, High Point, it's kind of up in the, I think it's up in the mountains, so it's probably, cool and nice. And that's kind of a tourist place in the summer for North Carolina.
So. Okay.
All right. And that, by the way, that's where Tubby Smith is now the basketball coach.
Really?
High Point. And that's where his alma mater. He went back to his alma mater.
I did not know that.
Because he was getting paid Texas Tech money and Memphis money. Hell, he can afford to coach at High Point. So. All right. We'll do this again next week. Monday Night Sports Talk. Maybe on Monday, generally speaking.
We'll see what happens.
And then I'll be in. I'll talk to the mayor on Friday, probably. Is he in for Friday?
He is in for Friday.
Okay. At this point.
At this point. Things could change.
Yes. Well, it's a little hot for golf, so what the hell. All right. See you.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
This is Patrick Gracie with the Canopy Group. What does dedication, perseverance, resilience, and accomplishment best describe today? The Canopy Group believes it's the graduating classes of 2021. What we are most proud of for these graduates is their ability to overcome challenges in their pursuit of future opportunities. True to their perseverance and resiliency, these students are finding new ways to celebrate their milestones and their success on this journey. It puts a smile on all of our faces as we drive through communities and see dozens and thousands and hundreds of yard signs. It is amazing that what these graduating students have gone through, and they deserve the spotlight, for they are Minnesota's future. Please join the Canopy Group in honoring your friends, relatives, and neighbors who represent the graduating classes of 2021.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that old bicycler Patrick Racy sent you.